truth.
Sight, Jeremy in Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate button, send the much needed fundage. To keep free speech alive, you can mail your check or money order payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Call in the debit or credit card number to 1-800-2719. That is 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And many thanks to all my loyal listeners that have donated to me and getting my truck back on the road. You can donate more if you want to go to my host profile page on the RBN website. Go to host schedule. And you'll see the GoFundMe on my page there, along with the Cash App, and email me at patrickandjeremyshow@yahoo.com if you want to mail some paper fundage and get an address. Also, we're having the book drive this week. For every $100 that you donate in the memory of John Stadtmiller, you'll get a book from John's library. This week is Lucifer's Children, Kingdomless Kings of the New World Order by Milan Martin. Very interesting book that blends a lot of religious Christian themes along with exposing secret societies and their inner workings. I think you'll find it very fascinating. So if you donate $100, you'll be in the running for the book. Just make sure you tell RBN that you are wanting the, to enter your name in the drawing. The drawing will be held on the second hour of Steve's show on Sunday, which the second hour, I believe, is 8 p.m. Central Time. Mike, you correct me if I'm wrong in the chat. Yeah, we got it. And so enter your name in the drawing. If you don't win the book this week and you've donated $100 to be in the drawing, you'll stay in the pool. So please do that. And even if you can give $1 or $3, donate to the station. You know, you're keeping shows going and truth flowing. This is your Wednesday night broadcast where I focus on spiritual health and wellness. I preach to you because I don't want you people to go to hell. And as per usual, we have a sermon clip. I've featured a sermon clip from one of our young up-and-coming pastors in West Kentucky, This is about salvation at the last minute, detailing the event of the thief on the cross, right? This is Pastor B. Let's roll this clip, and I'll come back for analysis, and we'll get into even more stuff. We're going to get into election, predestination. We're going to get into, if time allows, also the 70th week of Daniel. We may get into that, and also be taking your calls because this is live. So if you want to weigh in on that, Steve's show is 6 to 8 p.m. Central Time. The drawing is after 7 p.m. Central Time. So there's a correction there. If you would, Mike, let's roll that clip of Pastor B on salvation at the last minute.
But take your Bible for a few moments and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23. Just for a few moments, I want to talk to you today about a story of a great sinner, but an even greater Savior.
Yeah.
A great sinner, but an even greater Savior. Notice with me in verse 39 of Luke 23. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Amen.
What a salvation at the last minute before this man slips off into hell. He is rescued by Jesus. Jesus, who's hanging on the cross, being mocked that he can't save himself, is saving someone at the very moment that they're mocking him for not being able to save himself. This is an amazing story. And what strikes me about this account is verse 39 says, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, cursing at Jesus, blaspheming Jesus. But in Matthew 27:44 and in Mark 15:32, which is Matthew's account and Mark's account of the same event, that it says that both criminals were railing at Jesus. Both of them were cursing Jesus. But right here it says one of them rebukes the other one. What's going on? They're both cursing Jesus, but something happens to one of them that doesn't happen to the other one.
Yes.
This is an amazing thing, because while he's hanging on the cross, right after he himself was cursing at Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God falls on him. Amen. And he begins to be awakened, and he looks at the other one, and he starts rebuking the other man for doing the same thing that he was just doing himself.
Yeah.
I bet that other guy was shocked by this. Look at this account. He rails at him, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." Notice what the Spirit does when he falls on a sinner who is a few moments before cursing Jesus. What does the Spirit do to save someone? Look at what happens. The other rebuked him and said, "Do you not fear God?" Wow. What does the Spirit cause to happen in your life to bring you to salvation? A fear of God. You begin to be awakened of a holy God. And that's a problem for you because you're not holy.
Amen.
And the fear of God is a threat. And this man starts evangelizing the other one, hanging on the cross. He fears God. And then he says, "Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation," and watch verse 41, "and we indeed justly." He believes he's a sinner.
Yeah.
Not only that, he believes he's getting what he deserves. And he doesn't ask Jesus to get him off the cross because he knows he belongs on the cross.
That's right.
Yeah.
What an amazing thing the Spirit of God is showing this man while he's hanging, about to die. We indeed justly, for we're receiving the due reward of our deeds. He knows the wages of sin is death. He believes in the fear of God. He knows he's a sinner. He knows he should not be rescued from the cross. He knows he's getting what he deserves. Notice what else he knows. Look at this. But this man has done nothing wrong. He believes in the sinless life of Jesus Christ. He believes that Jesus is suffering unjustly. Wow, this is no simple salvation. This man is being awakened to a fear of God. He's evangelizing the other one. He's saying that I deserve to be here. I'm getting what I deserve, but this man's not getting what he deserves. What else does he believe? Look in verse 42. And he said, Jesus, watch this. Remember me. He says, Jesus, will you remember me? Don't forget me. Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? That's how simple salvation is. I'm fearing God. I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. I'm getting what I deserve. Jesus, will you remember me? And notice this phrase, when. See that word, when? When you come into your kingdom? Wait a minute. Nobody survives a crucifixion. Nobody. So when this guy says, remember me when you come into your kingdom, what does he believe that Jesus is going to do after he dies? He believes in the resurrection. This man believes, Romans 10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, this man believes it. Because he knows that Jesus is going to die, but not stay that way. What else does this guy believe? He believes Jesus is a king. When you come into your kingdom. He also believes that the kingdom is also coming.
Yes.
Look at this. This is an amazing confession from this man. Absolutely amazing. Let's examine his belief system. He had the proper theology. He believed you should fear God. He had the proper anthropology. He had a sense of his own sinfulness and guilt. He had a proper hamartiology, the belief of sin. He believed in sin. He believed his sin deserved punishment, and he believed it deserved death. He had a proper Christology. He believed Jesus Christ had done nothing wrong, was a king, and would resurrect from the dead. He had a proper soteriology. He believed Jesus could actually save him. And listen, he trusted him by faith alone.
Right.
He didn't offer anything. He couldn't offer anything. He's hanging there, about to die, and he trusts upon Jesus by faith and faith alone. And he had the proper eschatology. He believed Jesus would come again and inaugurate the future kingdom. This man had a systematic theology going on, hanging on the cross. In this simple salvation, he believed a lot of weighty, weighty truths. What was the response of Christ to this? Look in verse 43. Notice this. And he said to him, directly to this man, truly, I say to you, truly, this signifies that what I'm about to say to you is extremely shocking. But you can bank on it. It's true. I say to you, Jesus says, I'm saying to you, not some rabbi, not the religious leader over here, not some scriptural scholar. This is an authoritative declaration directly from the Son of God himself. What an assurance this man had. How would you like to have Jesus just look at you and say, you will be with me today? What a skyrocket of assurance. And by the way, the Spirit says that through the Word to you, even though Jesus isn't here. You can have the same assurance today that this man was given. Today, you will be with me in paradise. He says today. Not after purgatory, because you know you've really don't have a lot to offer. So if Jesus was a Roman Catholic, he would have had to say, Not so fast there, buddy. I mean, you're going to have to go to purgatory for a while and really get purged of all the things you've done up until now. No! Jesus says, today, you will be, notice, with me.
Amen.
In paradise. You know the reason why heaven is heaven? It's because Jesus is there.
Amen.
A lot of people want to go to heaven, but they don't want Jesus to be there.
That's right.
Heaven is with me, Jesus says. You will be with me in paradise. What an amazing account. What an amazing belief system. What are the implications of this? I've got six of them. Listen to these. Number one, no one is too bad to be saved. Nobody's too bad to be saved. This is a wicked man at the end of his life, a wretched thief, probably an insurrectionist and a murderer. He's about as bad as you can be. Nobody's too bad to be saved. Some people are too good to be saved, but nobody is too bad to be saved. Thank God. Hallelujah. This man was a lifelong thief. Not too bad to be saved. Number two, there is no work that you must do, or in fact can do, to be saved. This man is hanging on a cross with no ability to help or remedy his situation. There's no work required to be saved. This is proof positive. Number three, to be saved, you must simply abandon self-reliance and throw yourself completely upon the person and work of Jesus Christ by faith and faith alone.
Amen.
That's salvation.
Amen.
Notice the repentance of this man. One minute, he's cursing Jesus. Repentance just means to change your thinking. Your mind starts to change about who you are and who God is. That's repentance. He's starting to be changed. And the fruit of repentance is the evangelism that's going on, the confession, the believing. He's depending upon Jesus to be saved. He throws himself on the mercy of Jesus. Next, if God doesn't graciously elect and sovereignly regenerate a wicked sinner, then he or she will end up just like every other wicked sinner. This is sovereign regeneration based on election. Because one of them is saved and the other one's not. And they're in the same situation. The cross was not enough of hanging there dying, suffering for the other one to realize he needs to be saved. Nothing can change a sinner unless the Spirit changes him first.
Amen.
And one thing happened to one of them, and it didn't happen to the other one.
That's right.
Next, you must take Jesus at his word if you truly trust him. You must take him at his word. He will most assuredly save your wretched soul from eternal hell. You have to take him at his word. He says, truly, today you will be with me. And lastly, you got to know whom you have believed. You need to know who you're trusting in. He is God who became man. He lived a sinless life under the law. He died a substitutionary death for lawbreakers. He rose from the dead. He is king of a kingdom. And folks, he will come again.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for this account of salvation in its simplicity, but also in its profundity. What an amazing account. What an amazing confession this man had. What a shocking, startling statement from Jesus that said, you will be with me in paradise. And the most religious person on the planet will go to hell, but this thief, trusting in Jesus alone, will go to heaven. What a scandalous gospel. And Lord, we're not ashamed of it. We believe it. We know it's true because we know that the most religious person on the planet is still a wretched, wicked, hell-deserving sinner just like the rest of us, and Jesus is the perfect substitution for any sinner who was poured out upon him the wrath of God. We know, Lord, that Jesus is the only way to be saved. Lord, we trumpet this gospel. We proclaim this gospel. Lord, we're not ashamed of this gospel. Help us, Lord, to be bold, to be courageous. Lord, there's power in this gospel. There's power at the cross demonstrated on this thief who simply believed upon Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this salvation. I pray people are encouraged today. Lord, I pray you would save someone today. I pray right now that the Spirit would fall on somebody and they would begin to say, I'm afraid of God. That's good. I pray they would see their sin for the first time in their life and that they would look to Christ and say, remember me.
Amen.
And their life would be completely different after. Save somebody today, Lord. We need you to do it. Lord, the Spirit fell on one. He didn't fall on the other one. Lord, we need you to save or people will walk away unchanged.
Amen.
Please, Lord, save somebody. Help us, Lord, to grow in our knowledge of Christ, Lord, to be thankful that this salvation has happened to us. Thank you for changing my mind, Lord. Thank you for causing me to view Jesus differently than I did before. Thank you for saving me. Lord, save somebody else, I pray. In his name, amen.
Amen.
So that's the sermon clip from Pastor B. And it really highlights the reason that I do these Wednesday night studies is to share with you simple an effective plan of salvation that is not of works. It's not anything that you do. It's simply faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something that was very, very well laid out by the speaker in this clip. Mike says we're skipping the first break, so we'll go on. And after the second break, we'll take your calls, 512-248-8252, if you want to weigh in. I want to get into election and predestination. The speaker mentioned election. First of all, I'll relay my testimony to you, which I don't know that I've done before. At the age of 14 years old, I realized that I was a wicked sinner and deserving of hell. And I did several things to try to clean up my life, even at the tender age of 14, a child that grew up in church 3 days a week, that lived a relatively good life, and doing any of the major things, the sexual sins. We didn't have internet at that time in 1990. It wasn't available. So I didn't have the pornography thing going on in that aspect, you know, but I cursed a lot and, you know, did the usual things that a 14-year-old would do, listen to music that I shouldn't have. And so I decided to clean up my life. And all of the cleaning up of the life, stopping cursing and the dirty jokes, stopping what little access I had to anything that would resemble pornography, which is basically the lingerie section of the Sears catalog. Stop looking at that. Stop listening to rock music. I did all of that. I did all of these works, you know, at that age that I thought would help me. And it didn't. It didn't. I was undone. I was an undone sinner. And I understood that there was nothing that could rescue me from the wrath of God. There was no works that I could do. So at that point, I realized that I had to give up on myself. That was the first real clear thing that I understood from the scriptures, was to give up completely on myself. Hang on just a second. And so, yeah, I had a visitor at the door. Just hang on just for a second, folks. So apologies for the dead air and, visitor at the door. But at 14, at that young age, I understood there was absolutely no works that I could do. Nothing brought me peace. And so on a school bus on the way to Simpsonia, Kentucky, it was a Friday morning, I'm pretty sure it was April 20th in 1990, I completely gave up on myself and completely surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for me on the cross. Very similar to this thief on the cross, even though I had not committed the types of heinous crimes that this thief on the cross had committed, what little sins I had in my life were enough to send me to hell. And I threw myself on the mercy of the Lord. I understood who God was, who he is, that he punishes sinners, even a 14-year-old boy, and that I was lost and undone with no means of reconciling to the Lord. So I threw myself on the mercy of the Lord, trusted completely in the work of Christ, that he died for my sins and rose again. And at that point, I was born again. But that's not the end of the story. I had a whole life to live after 14, during which I joined the Air Force and got a little bit away from the Lord. Quite a bit of partying, women, beer, rum, the whole nine yards. But I never did stray completely from the life that the Lord had laid out for me. And this is where we're going to get into election and predestination. Election, in the biblical definition, is that God chose you, if you're a believer in Christ, before the foundation of the earth. This is highlighted in many New Testament scriptures. Ephesians 1 really highlights it. The elect are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And that word foreknowledge in the Greek, there's a noun that is prognosis, and there's a verb that is prognisiko. But it's just what it sounds like, a prognosis, where you understand, you gather data about a certain event. In the case of prognosis, the noun, in medical terms, a medical doctor gathers data about you and he makes a prognosis, right? With God, foreknowledge is much more than just gathering data, because God is omniscient. In other words, he knows all things. He cannot learn. There's no way that he can look down through the portals of time and see the future. He is the future. He constructs the future. And this is highlighted in many other verses. So for God to elect someone, it means that he knows them intimately. It means that he chooses them before they're ever born, before the foundation of the earth even, and that he chooses them for no reason at all of themselves. And that faith for this person is given to them from God. That's the biblical definition of election. And then you get into predestination. Predestination happens after election, right? And this is very clearly laid out in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, for whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. This is the process of sanctification, where you were elect, you were given faith, and then God predestined you to good works. We're going to get into more of this on the other side of the break, and then take your calls on In Plain Sight.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Spiritual health and wellness on In Plain Sight, RBN. So I was just recapping. So there are two thieves crucified beside Jesus. Both railed on him, and one thief became repentant because he was an elect and he accepted Jesus Christ. The other one did not. So similarly, and the thief that accepted him was granted justification by faith through grace, by grace through faith, outside of his works. There was no works that he could do. He was dying on the cross. So similarly, as a born-again Christian, I was elected from the foundation of the earth from before. But at the age of 14, I was granted faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to give up on myself, in all of my works, and to rely completely on the Lord Jesus and his finished work on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. That is the gospel, the good news, that you don't have to earn your salvation. It was earned for you. You simply exercise faith granted to you from God. God granted me the faith to do that in the same way that he granted this repentant thief on the cross the faith. So just to get a little bit more into this, I covered Romans chapter 8, 29 through 31, that who the Lord foreknew, he predestined, right? So the elect of God, he foreknew them and he predestined them. Now let's cover Romans 8, 28, because this is going to be the key verse in my testimony to you tonight. And we know that all things, Romans 8, 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So even though I was born again at age 14, there were many, many things that I needed to experience. There were many trials that the Lord put before me in order to bring these trials for good in my life, to better me, to perfect me, to strengthen me. And so on into my 20s, you know, I entered the Air Force. I did a lot of partying, a lot of women and booze. I never fully disconnected from God. I was always held quite close. But about 11 years ago, I kind of went off the rails and I got involved in relationships that were not ethical, that were not godly. I involved myself with a young woman who was separated but not completely divorced. And I had many, many other dealings with unbelievers, and I entwined myself in this world at, you know, the age of 36. And the Lord brought me to task on my lifestyle. He punished me. I drank a little too much at a family gathering. I drove an uncle of mine home. I tried to. And we had a wreck. We had a DUI. I got a DUI out of it. And I actually got charged with wanton endangerment in conjunction with the DUI, a felony charge. Spent the weekend in jail with other drunks and lowlifes and degenerates. I was really humbled. And at that time, though, since the age of 14, I was a true believer in Christ. By faith, you know, by grace through faith, I had obtained justification through God, but my works were not mimicking that in this life. And so the Lord brought me through this period of punishment, of discipline, because Hebrews says that whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. If you are a believer without discipline, then you are a bastard, the King James says. You're not legitimate. If you can live any way you want to and commit any sin you want to and not have the discipline of the Lord, you're a bastard, not a legitimate child. I experienced that discipline very heavily. I was put into a holding cell with other people that have been arrested for DUIs and public drunkenness. In that cell, I encountered a young man who was a house builder. I'm a painter. And we began making plans together in the jail cell over the weekend as to how I was going to paint my way out of this. I surely would be discharged from the Air Force once they learned about this DUI and the felony charge. And so I started making plans with this builder to earn income. this builder who was brought in that night. He rode a four-wheeler while he was drinking beer, and he crossed the state highway. He was pulled over by troopers and incarcerated. And so isn't it interesting that I ended up in jail with this house builder, this very prominent man in the community, who would then supply me work and who would establish my reputation as a painter. And we agreed in one accord, once we got out of this holding cell, that I would paint his houses and he would use me as his primary painter. Thus the transition out of the military and into self-employment, which I enjoy now. So even though, here's the point that I'm bringing out. Here's the point. Even though the Lord was punishing me for drinking too much and getting in a truck and driving when I shouldn't have, at the same time, at the very same time of punishment, he was bringing this person into my life who would be my major customer, who would supply me with most of my employment after those years of separation from the Air Force. And so this is an anecdotal, account of Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Does it say that all good things work? No, it says all things work together for the good. So that means bad things work together for your good. If you're elect, if you've exercised grace, if you've been given grace by God, and you've exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're the elect, you're born again. All things, even my punishment, work together for the good. I got out of jail the following Monday morning with no bail. That was my first time offense. I paid maybe $700 in court fees. I hired a lawyer for $1,500, and they got me off of the felony charge. And I only had the DUI charge looking at me. I paid $500-$600 for DUI classes. I lost my license for a month, in which time during that 30 days, I was able to paint a house for this house builder whom I encountered in the jail. And that led to a career of self-employment that I currently enjoy now. Do you see what I'm saying? Because I was elect, because I was a believer, the Lord worked all things together for good for me, even in the midst of my punishment, even during the time in jail. Look, my cousin was in the truck that I wrecked. I was charged with felony wanton endangerment because my cousin broke his arm. And he was taken to the hospital, to the emergency room. And if he had died, if he had lost his life in the emergency room, that would have been manslaughter. None of it worked out like that. My cousin just got his arm patched up. He didn't sue me because we're cool like that. I paid for his truck. I did financial restitution for everything, all the damage that I caused that night. And the Lord worked it. The Lord worked it out in his sovereignty that I was able to embark upon self-employment as a painter. And this very house builder that was incarcerated with me became my main client over about a period of a decade. And I branched out from there. All things, again, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I was elect. I was called. I was predestined for good works. And the Lord worked that out in my life in spite of my mistakes, of my sins, of my prior addictions. He worked it out for good. He disciplined me, and then he set me on a path of restoration. This is the God that I serve. And this is the whole reason why I do this show and why I'm here with you on Wednesday night. The political analysis is great. It's fun. I love getting on Patrick Slattery. I love doing shows with William. I talk out against Jewish power because that's the truth. But this show is why I do what I do. And even if none of you people gave me any money, I would still do it. And it's what keeps me hanging on. So that's just a little bit of my testimony. And I hope that made clear to you the purpose and the biblical definition through theological analysis, but also through anecdotal testimony of how God elects a person to salvation. He doesn't leave them alone. He never left me alone. What a tragedy it would have been if God would have just let me fail to my own devices. What a tragedy it would have been if God would have allowed me to face the charges of felony, wanton endangerment. That was all expunged from my record because he provided me with a good lawyer, with people that loved me, that supported me, and with work and a career to embark upon after my separation from the military. What a great God that I serve. I hope you serve this God. I hope that you recognize your state before this God and that you come to repentance as I did. Moving on to more things, you know, we all get wrapped up in this life and we all get wrapped up in things that are involved in our lives. I'll share with you just quickly before the break the story of Kevin, one of my good friends that I met in a small rural town here in Kentucky. After all of that business of DUI that I shared with you, I was a self-employed painter, and I took on this young worker, this teenage young man named Kevin. He lived in poverty, had nothing, and I provided him work. You know, the Lord worked through me to minister to this young man. And we worked together for a while. It was fun. I moved out of that community where I met him and got another house. And I lost track of him for many years. He's now in his 20s, and I encountered him recently when the truck was down. He gave me a ride several times. All the good that I paid to him was paid back to me with this young man helping me out. You know, when I was up without a ride. And this young man got involved with a modern female, and we know that modern females are completely treacherous. He had a child with her, and now he's on the hook to pay for her. And his child, which he should pay for his child. But I'm just saying that, like, instead of maintaining a relationship with him, she decided to ditch him and just get out of him what she could while she lived her own life and saw other men. I encountered this young man and I thought, wow, how fascinating is this? You know, the Lord puts people in your life that you can help. And we're not all perfect. Some of us are way less better than others. But I had the opportunity to help this young man and to bring him to a point of getting rid of the chains of the job that he was under, this minimum wage job, and to help him become self-employed and to give him pointers on that. And so this is all part of the Romans 8:28 experience, you know, all things work together for good to those who love God. This young man who I showed kindness to, who showed kindness to me later, I was now able to help and get him up out of the funk that he was in. We're all just broken creatures. And we encounter each other in this broken life. Up on the last break, back on the other side of the conclusion of In Plain Sight.
The wind blows hard against this mountainside. Across the sea into my soul. Cannot hide.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
My heart is old, it holds my memories. It's where I find myself again.
Okay. We're back to the final segment of In Plain Sight, Spiritual Health and Wellness, on the Wednesday night broadcast on RBN. I'm probably not going to be able to get into Daniel's 70th week. That's something that I teased at the first part of this broadcast. It's very intricate and complicated, and maybe I'll shelve that for next Wednesday and do a whole show on Daniel's 70th week, which involves prophecies of a restored Israel. Yes, a restored Israel, which is what we're not witnessing right now. The Israel, the secular state of Israel that you're seeing that are genociding Palestinian children, they're accursed of God. They're brought together of their own accord, Zephaniah 2, to receive judgment from God. But we'll get into that later. I just want to conclude that what I was saying before the break, we're all broken creatures, and we all experience different things. We encounter different people, other broken people in this life, who we must interact with and help. And so just to bring it full circle, if you were a part of the elect of God, if you've been brought to salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been predestined to good works. Like the Romans 8 passage stated, the Lord predestined you. He, before time, he didn't just look through the future to see what good works he would do. He elected you, and he predestined good things for you to do. And when you, as a sinner saved by grace, when you vary, when you go out of the bounds of that, predestination, he'll bring you back through means of discipline, just like he's done me, just like he's done many people. So at the end of the day, you can understand that it is not in any way your works. Your works do not earn you your salvation. Your works are a product of your salvation and your election. The predestined works that God has given to you and laid out before you, that's your path that you follow as a result of your salvation, which is based on your election and faith. It's based on your faith that God has given you. So these are very important things to remember as you live your Christian life, as you encounter different people. You may encounter someone like Kevin in my life. And a person like this, you may say, oh, there's no hope for this person. They're completely gone. They've been put in your life for a reason. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned. Donate to RBN, and I'll be back tomorrow night with William Repellum on Lakeside.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.